Episode 43 of the Nolan Nerdcast. It's coming to you today. 43. Episode 43 of the Nolan Nerdcast. 43.
I like that one.
Episode 43.
That was better than normal.
Okay, let's.
All right, now
let's not go crazy.
Yeah, not doing too great anymore.
I'm cool with that.
That's fine. I liked it. A plus.
Hey, I'll take an A plus.
I'm okay with that.
We've
had better, but we've also had worse.
That's true. We have.
Scott sang our intro for forever.
Yeah, I missed that intro.
Well, maybe when he comes back.
What was his intro like?
What was it like?
It was very high pitched.
Yeah. He would always.
It was a little Aaron Neville-y.
Oh yeah. I don't know much. But I know I love you.
That's
exactly.
Funny.
Precisely.
I know that episode 43.
Alright, we get it. It's episode 43. We have moved on.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. And it is Thursday, y'all, late. Oh, I thought you were just saying it's Thursday, y'all. It is Thursday. We are one day later than normal. But you know what? It happens.
Whatever.
Deal with it, nerds.
We decided it would be more fun to compete against Thursday Night Football. You know, really see where the loyalties lie.
Sports ball
Wait,
is happening tonight.
Two
teams from two cities that you don't
Wait,
care about.
I got this, you guys. Hey, Siri, who's playing football tonight?
Ooh.
The Jaguars are behind the Titans.
Oh, Jaguars and Titans? Oh,
how... Jaguars.
First of all, why is Siri British?
Because you can change your setting.
Mine
I
too.
Wanted,
Mine's
I wanted,
an Aussie.
I wanted a British lady.
Hey, Siri.
Oh, we know.
Available.
Tell Steven.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. Oh, no, we don't.
Nope, not up in it. So yeah, compared to that, we're fucking gold.
We are gold.
This is the episode where Chris will
play
a VR horror game.
Nope.
Ooh, do we have one?
Nope.
We do.
There's no time before Halloween.
Actually, okay. Are you grabbing the headset? I'm just going to put it on.
No.
Just for funsies.
There's no time before Halloween to play a horror game. Besides... I played Outlast this week. I'll talk about
Ooh,
that.
Outlast
Holy,
is so
that,
good.
That was
so,
a terrible idea.
Oh, that game is so good.
So it's not actually on, so I don't see anything. But I probably look super cool, right?
Oh, he looks stupid.
Oh. No, I look cool.
No, he looks stupid.
Right, Chris?
I've seen cooler.
On a scale of 1 to 10, hold up your fingers so I know you hold up a 10. How cool am I right now?
I mean, you're like
there's definitely a 10.
There's definitely some fingers
I'm definitely showing a 10.
Yeah, awesome. I figure.
Yeah.
And I don't have to look because I trust you guys.
And you know what?
I know, right?
Caitlin said you look lame.
What?
What a Judas.
Okay. NorCal 916
yes.
just asked, are we excited for Punisher Iron Fist?
The answer is
yes.
The answer is 100%. Iron Fist more than Punisher because Iron Fist is the reason
for the season
that I was even excited initially about the Netflix shows.
Okay.
I was like Daredevil, sure. Jessica Jones, really? Luke Cage, all right.
Now
Iron Fist, yes.
Now I know how Daredevil feels.
The answer is excited for Punisher, Iron Fist, yes.
Yes, but I had to make that clarification. I did.
No, you didn't.
Because I love Iron Fist.
So whatever. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right,
Doug's a big stupid head.
All right, so let's wrap. What are we rapping about this week?
Well, why don't we start off by talking about what we played? Let's talk about a week. You know, you started off with Outlast. So, Chris, first of all, I'm shocked that you played Outlast.
So
for those that don't know,
I'm a coward.
We both are.
Yes.
Although I would like to point out that during the E3 where Silent Hills was released as PT. Chris hid right behind this couch and did not get up to watch the game.
Really?
It was very spooky.
Yeah.
So here's what happened. Here's what happened. Me and the missus are at home.
No, it's what happened was.
What happened was me and the missus were at home looking for a game to play because we had played Until Dawn, and Until Dawn is way worse every time you replay it because you can't skip and you can't run, and it's exhausting to go through. So we're looking, and I was watching a Let's Play. And then we're playing Outlast. She's like, why don't we just play Outlast? And I said, okay, sweetie. Whatever you say. So, yeah, I downloaded it and we started playing it. And
you had to pay for it?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, if only when it was free on PlayStation Plus, you did the thing where you just click add to library all the time.
Shut up.
You know, just for
no one asked you. So we started playing it, and she was not. There's no time. She was not aware of all the jump scares in the first couple of minutes. So she didn't do great, and then there was a part she couldn't beat, so I had to play it, and that was awful.
Did you pee yourself?
No, but I definitely had a little bit of anxiety, and I was just sitting there like, oh, I fucking hate this stupid game. I hate this stupid game so goddamn much. Why is this guy walking back and forth? Why can't I do anything besides hide? I hate this game. Having said that, it's a tremendous game.
Oh, it's great.
I can't wait for Outlast 2.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope. Nope, it's not happening.
Until Callie says it's happening.
Oh, it's happening.
We gotta beat Outlast 1 first, and that I don't think that's ever gonna happen.
It's gonna happen. It's not that long of a game.
Having said that, it's a tremendous game. The fact
is
that
it huge?
No. The fact
huge game. Huge.
The fact that you can't fight and you're locked
no,
up.
He says you have to play
Nope.
Outlast 2 while locked in handcuffs.
Nope, not happening. So the fact that you have to run and hide is really exciting, and it really drives up the tension, especially when enemies coming at you in the dark and you have no batteries and everything's misery. I appreciate that. It's not for me. It gives me such anxiety.
Also, I forgot to say that today we are sponsored by Chocolate Teddy Grahams.
We're not.
Nabisco is a huge partner with the
Where's that check from Nabisco?
Oh, I spent it. It got the VR.
Yeah?
Yeah, they gave us a VR.
And I'm out of here.
Chocolate Teddy Grahams. All other flavors suck a dick.
I don't know.
Hashtag.
No.
Nabisco.
So anyway, in addition to Outlast pooping my pants. I played some more Mafia 3, which is it's exhausting. There's so much to do, and I'm trying to get as much done as I possibly can first.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's the thing with these open world games.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and like Xenoverse came out, 2K17 is desperately calling for my attention, and Dishonored is in 2 weeks.
Yep,
and I'm just like, Mafia, I love you,
but we need to hurry this up.
Why do you make me do this?
But the story...
Story's great. Story is maybe one of the best stories I've ever played. It's very, very good.
Yes.
It's just... It's a little funky. And that's... It's okay. It's like Saints Row. Where Saints Row is a little funky, but you're kind of okay with it. I feel the same way.
Okay.
And that's really all I played this week. All
right. Josh, would you do me a favor and get that box for me right there?
Please? Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Doing a lot of like moving and lifting and picking up.
Well,
stuff.
I want
you
to
look so comfy.
I want you desperately to feel useful.
I always feel useful.
So, this is what I played this week.
We also sponsored by Dragon Ball.
We are also sponsored by Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, the Collector's Edition, Electric Boogaloo. I didn't even play that much on this. I dabbled. Because my main brunt of gaming this week has been Rise of the Tomb Raider, the PS4 20th Anniversary Edition.
Which is exciting.
Which also has a VR component to it, which is awesome. You get to go through Croft Manor and
I would like to try that out.
In the VR. Okay, I'll pop it
I thought Rise of the Tomb Raider was an incredible game that came out at the wrong time last year.
And that was the thing. It really did. It came out in the middle of a crowded November alongside Star Wars Battlefront, Fallout 4, Call of Duty.
The same day as Fallout 4.
It was a terrible idea. And this year, it came out at the beginning of October before
the
holiday
the madness.
Rush. So I actually got a chance to actually dedicate myself. And the game says I'm 70% done. So okay. I'm powering through it. Then I'm going to hit up the Baba Yaga DLC.
I love the optional tombs. They have so much thought put in.
They're my favorite part because every one of them, when it clicks and you realize what you have to do, like when I was on the phone with you because it was killing me, I could not wrap my mind around one of the things. And as I'm talking through it with him, there's a moment where he just hears, "Oh," and then I did it. It was amazing.
It's such a shame because if this had come out in like June or July of this year, people would be talking about Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I don't understand why they continuously insist that these games that aren't first-person shooters, which are the only genre that can carry themselves through the holiday, they are like, no, it has to be holiday. I'm like, why? June and July are empty.
Oh, yeah. Tomb Raider during June or July would have been amazing.
It would have killed. And it makes me sad because Rise of the Tomb Raider is never going to get the kind of love that it deserves because it came out in bad periods.
It always does.
And you know what it's going to be? It's going to go on PlayStation Plus or Games with Gold, and someone's going to get it, and it's going to sit there until like a dark period, like 3 years from now, and they'll be like, oh, man.
Yeah, that this was game really was really good.
Yeah.
Until the trilogy, the third part of the trilogy comes out. Because you know there's going to be a third one.
Well, it should, because it deserves it.
Besides that, I began dabbling in World of Final Fantasy.
Okay.
Man, if you liked Square Enix games from the Super Nintendo and PlayStation 1 era, this is a love letter to you. Besides that, that was pretty much it. I've got a lot on my docket coming up this week, game wise, but that's all I play. What about you, Joshy Poo?
I did a little bit of the Resident Evil, the remake thingamabobby. But the controllers are so god awful that I was like, I can't do this anymore. This is torturous. But did a little Destiny here and there, and worked. I worked a lot. Real life.
So Josh, I have a question for you, Josh.
What you got?
Last week, after I left, you tried out the PlayStation VR.
I did. I got to try out the VR, and it is amazing, but it scares me.
Okay. You mentioned this earlier. Why does this scare you so?
It scares me because this is way too close to that cyberpunk Uncanny Valley line where the virtual space seems so good, and it's like when I took it off, it was jarring. And the problem that I have is that it's not with the technology. I think the technology is amazing. It's with the consumer. I'm afraid of the psychological implications that this is going to pose on individuals.
It certainly could affect them because if you recall, we had that issue with Avatar, the James Cameron, where people were getting lost in Pandora and spending all their days in theaters.
Yeah.
I think we'll see a similar thing with this. It's fascinating you say that because by all accounts, or at least the accounts I've read, the PlayStation is probably on the weaker end of the VR spectrum.
Yep.
Yeah.
But, and we're only looking at the very first model games, so who knows how good they will get in the future.
Oh, definitely. And then from there, it's like, I think, because, like, you know, people, gamers have a problem with the whole thing of instant gratification. Mm-hmm. And if they're stuck in this world for the portion of their day, when they're in the real world or meat space, then I know you cringe when I say that, but you know, when they're in the real world, where's the lines are going to start blurring, where they're going to be. It's like, I want it now, I want it now, I want it now, I can get it now.
All I know is those humans in WALL-E looked real comfortable.
They did.
Oh god, yeah. You guys.
Also, if you've not read Ready Player One,
yep,
this is how it starts.
Or Sword Art Online.
I mean,
yeah.
Or Dot Hack.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I'm sorry, did I go too anime for you?
Yeah.
Mason gets it. I went full on weeaboo.
Thanks.
You never go full on weeaboo.
No, you don't.
Good job, buddy.
But yeah, so PlayStation VR is officially a thing, and it's doing well. Apparently, it has exceeded Sony's initial expectations, has sold out of its initial shipments.
That's not very surprising, just because it was priced so well and had the built-in PlayStation audience.
But that's what VR needed.
Yeah.
Because we got reports that the Vive and Oculus has stagnated sales-wise, because the early adopters got them, but it's still too pricey with not enough software to get casual people on board. Because again, we're looking at an $800 or $600 investment on top of the need of needing a 2000 plus gaming PC to run. Whereas the PSVR, it's $399 and you already have a PlayStation. That's all you need. Yeah. There is no setup. There is no weird. It's the ease of use of a console with something as technical as VR, and that's why it's successful.
A lot of games out for it right now.
And also, shockingly enough, if you put up the launch lineup of PlayStation VR versus actual console launch lineups, PlayStation VR ranks in the top five of all time launch lineups.
It has a lot.
Who's got the number one launch lineup?
It's never a Nintendo system. No. Like, even looking back, the 64 launched with two games.
Yeah.
Wave Race and Mario.
Yeah.
No, not even Wave Race. It was Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings.
And
Pilot
Mario.
Wings 64 and Mario. Yeah.
The Super Nintendo launched with two games.
Pilot Wings
and
Super
Mario.
Mario.
it was just... So Nintendo systems never have good launch libraries. I think the best launch library... What would you say, Chris?
I don't know, because I don't know enough launch libraries to...
Xbox 360 had a really good launch.
Yeah, it had
360
what, King
had a
Kong,
very strong
Cameo,
launch.
And...
Perfect Dark.
Oh, yeah. Perfect Dark sucked, though.
Call of Duty 2.
That's a good one.
Condemned. I remember it was a big one.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Condemned? I don't know. I'll have to think
it
about
happened.
That. We'll come back
to
that.
We lived through Condemned.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at it, the PlayStation 4 had a really good title launch because they had a lot of games that were
Knack.
On the...
Killzone, Knack, a lot of good third-party games.
Yeah, a lot,
but...
Black Flag was really good.
Yeah. PS3 had Resistance. That was a great launch title.
Yeah, Resistance was fun.
I don't know. PS2 had a shit launch lineup, I know that.
It had the bouncer, and...
it wasn't even a launch
lineup.
Oh, wow,
that was...
That was launch a window.
Oh, yeah.
It had Fantavision. Oh. Buzz Quiz World was awesome.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
We got to make our own quizzes.
I remember I remember we couldn't play against each other anymore.
Yeah, because I got mad at Chris. He has unnatural good guessing skills.
Oh, that's awesome, Chris.
And so playing trivia games with him is a lesson in futility and frustration.
Because I also buzz really quickly, and then I guess.
Yeah, he'll like just buzz in real quick before he's even read the question, and then guess. Completely defeating the
person. Right.
But Buzz Quiz World, you could go online to the Buzz website and design your own quizzes that would then get imported into the game.
That's cool.
So you could customize quizzes. So I like made a Final Fantasy VI quiz and like nerdy shit, and then we made a quiz about our friendship, and I made the I started making the quizzes really hard just to watch him fail.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cute.
It was great.
It was all fun. Right.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Next, well, there's one really huge piece of gaming news that happened, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
The first up is Pokemon Sun and Moon dropped a new trailer today. The final trailer.
Ooh.
Before the game comes out.
Hold on, let's see it.
I gotta tell you,
no internet.
I'm wavering a little bit on Pokemon Sun and Moon.
Why is that?
Have you seen the new trailer?
No, but I watched on YouTube the demo. I watched someone play the demo and, you know, riding a Taurus. And...
No, you could get the demo right now, and that way you could get Ash Greninja when the game comes out.
But I'm not sure if I'm getting it.
But then if you play the beta, you'll at least have the free Pokemon just in case.
Maybe. I don't know.
You know there's literally no downside.
There's plenty of downside.
Also, the beta will help you decide whether you want it or not.
That's a good point.
It's almost as if that's the point of a demo.
He's making like really good like logic.
I know, which
here.
Is weird,
like,
right?
This is happening.
Matthew has logic on point today.
All right, I'll start downloading it tomorrow.
Gangster.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, the new trailer came out and officially proved that the. Leaks from months and months ago of the final starters was real.
Was right,
yeah.
So the grass owl now becomes a grass ghost archer.
That's
awesome. Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Fan?
No.
Tam-astic?
No.
Phantomastic?
Come on, you're really stretching. That's from me. I'm telling you, your pun is too
weak.
And for the first time, the starter is not fire fighting.
It's fire.
It's fire dark, and it is a wrestler. It is a lion wrestler.
Which is cool.
And his special ability is called the Darkest Lariat.
Yep. It's beautiful.
It's amazing. I thought you said you hadn't seen it.
I saw some of it.
Okay. And then finally,
The fairy water. Yeah, we'll just
get it. It's a mermaid seal.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't feed into his terribleness. You're a liar. It's why? So yeah, we got those three, and then we got the surprise announcement of who the actual final bosses of the game will be.
Who is it?
Who?
Blue and Red. You fight Gary and Red from the original Pokemon Red and Blue. They've aged them up to be like 20-somethings.
Hot 20-somethings.
And the hottest of the 20-somethings. Chris, they actually look fucking baller.
I know.
It's amazing.
I've been on Twitter today. I've seen them.
You literally told me you hadn't seen the trailer. I hate you so much.
I had not seen the trailer, but I had seen everyone's
everything
reaction.
Else.
I love the relationship you guys have.
Best friends.
Me too. Come on, you just said best friends. Yay.
Yay.
Okay, besides that, you want to know the two things I never thought we'd be able to say?
What?
That the last Guardian has gone gold. And that Final Fantasy 15 has gone gold.
I don't see that as...
Both of the games are finally done. Both games we have waited over a decade for. And both games will be coming out within 2 weeks of each other.
And surprisingly, I'm more excited about the Final Fantasy game than The Last Guardian.
To be fair, so am I.
Hey, I'm just trying to do what
no.
they said.
No, no, no. No, no, no. To be fair, I'm much the same way because I could not give less of a crap about The Last Guardian.
Like, I think if The Last Guardian was a PlayStation 4 launch title, that would have been solid. But since it's been so long, I'm kind of just like...
It's like, but no, because here's the thing, it's like Final Fantasy 15. It's been so long, but who cares if it's good?
Yeah, but this is the thing, there hasn't been a good Final Fantasy in a while.
Okay, here's another great thing about Final Fantasy that came out this week. What's up, Steven Brim? People that, they're under an embargo for reviews, but they were authorized to give their impressions of the first 15 hours, and every single outlet is just raving that this is, it multiple times was quoted as being a return to the greatness of Final Fantasy.
Which is great.
And that makes me so happy.
And I'm more excited for a good Final Fantasy than a good Last Guardian.
That's fair.
Also, the time window comes where Final Fantasy is dropping on the 29th. It's going to be a rare person that finishes it
before Last Guardian
yeah. comes out.
Although I will give Last Guardian credit, pushing it back to December gives it its own breathing space.
No, I just thought about
it. Because otherwise it would have been Tomb Raider Syndrome.
There's going to be great timing because when you're done with Final Fantasy 15, Persona 4 is going to be out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or 5.
Earlier
five,
than that.
Persona 5.
Earlier than that, for the more
Four.
Weeaboos of us.
5.
January is the new Tales game, Tales of Berseria, RPG on PS4. February... oh no, late January, early February is the new Digimon game.
Yep.
And then we get Persona 5.
Yeah, Persona 5.
And then later that month, we get Horizon Zero Dawn.
Ugh.
And later that month, we get South Park Fractured But Whole.
Oh!
Yeah. And in January, we also get Gravity Rush 2, Resident Evil 7. The first 3 months of 2017 is insane.
I'm predicting a lot of those things getting shuffled. It's
and
too insane.
It is. And also, that's actually perfect timing to bring into our next big topic.
Yeah.
Because you know what else is coming out in March to really make that month insane?
The Switch!
What?
The Switch.
The Switch.
The
let's,
Switch.
Let's
the
talk
Switch.
Nintendo Switch.
So we all watched the trailer again tonight. You know, cool millennials on their rooftop parties taking out their tablet and playing Mario and then going home to their big screen TV and connecting it. So here are the positives I have for the Switch. Number one, it's really cool.
Oh, it is.
It's such a unique idea, and I think it's exactly what Nintendo has wanted their ecosystem to be for a very,
unique,
very long time.
You know, type cool little stuff. But...
portable and home combined in one beautiful package.
It's a better name.
It's
the first time in a while that they've had a good name for a system.
Yeah, because
it's true.
Because also when you say Switch is kind of a dumb name. But when you see what it's switching, it makes sense.
But it's also one of those fantastic like words that when you first hear it, you're like, that's a dumb name for a system.
Yeah.
But then the more you think, it just clicks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's, like, it's almost like a switch goes off.
Stop.
And you're just
oh, no.
like, oh.
No.
Stop.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That was a good one.
No.
Sorry.
So yeah, it's really cool. And I've got a lot of potential because it's the most visually exciting Nintendo system we've seen. More so than the Wii U, which was neat, but we were more concerned whether it was a Wii or
an add-on
thing. So here's my issue with this, because they showed Skyrim running as a demo thing,
which terrible idea. Who plays Skyrim?
Seriously, but also the tablet portion is going to be so powerful. It's going to have to be so powerful to do all this nonsense,
right?
And I have concerns about the battery life, the power of the system in order to run all this stuff. Because I don't doubt that they can get the television portion to work. It's when you snap on and take it with you to the bathroom.
Yeah,
most likely.
What's the battery life on that tablet?
Yeah.
Rumor: 3 hours.
Okay, that's not.
It's kind of like a Game Gear. Remember the Sega.
But here's the thing about the tablet thing. Nintendo said this is a home console with a portable function, and also I also firmly believe that third parties will create battery packs and extenders.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Before I jump into all the things I like about it, I guess I will talk about one of my fears, and not for me personally, but for families.
Sure.
That sure is a lot of removable, aka losable parts of a system.
And that's
for kids.
That's my second thing.
I don't feel like it's going to be. Look at that commercial. It's not catered to children.
No, and that was one point I wanted to bring up, is that for the first time, Nintendo's marketing really seems to get it right, because not once during that entire reveal did they show kids or families.
Yeah.
It was all 20-somethings playing it, because Nintendo knows they have the kids and families on lock. You don't need to cater
to them. They're now aging with their market.
Well, it's not even that. Why advertise to the clientele that's already going to buy your system?
Yeah.
That also brings up my second kind of point, is it's showing off a lot of things, but is it going to be the typical Nintendo thing where if you're picking out the tablet from its slot and you drop it and it cracks, are you going to be able to buy a replacement tablet, or are you screwed?
Right. Because apparently the feel is very good for the two split-away
parts.
Yeah. But then the actual pro controller they have...
Yeah.
Apparently is on par with the Xbox One in terms of ergonomic feel and quality, which is a great controller, so...
Yeah, I can't make any judgment on it. It looks... the split-apart controllers look kind of odd.
I will say, just Nintendo's really good about making their controllers feel good.
It reminds me a lot of the Nunchuck.
Yeah.
Function.
I think that's where they're going
for. And that worked to an extent.
But they've admitted that you need more buttons, and so they actually have everything on it.
But we won't know until we see demos in stores.
However, if I may...
You may.
So what I'm really excited about this is, it's a Nintendo system that is on par power level with PS4 and Xbox One, which means it can finally get third-party games and not just dumbed-down ports like the Wii U version.
And it looked like they had the support. They were showing NBA.
They showed support. So, first of all, getting Skyrim on the system is a huge deal.
It's a huge get. It's the enhanced version, too.
Exactly. Games like that, Bethesda's never been on Nintendo consoles before.
Not at all.
So, and then getting sports games. You know, you joke about a sports game, but then you realize that the Wii U got zero sports games. It had none. And when you have a console without EA support or 2K support... That's a big blow to your system.
Yeah, because it didn't work out with the Wii.
Exactly. But it looks like they're getting that back, because companies don't have to do something special to get their game on your system. With the Wii, they actually had to dedicate a team to make a less powered version of their game. Same with the Wii U. With the Switch, since it's basically the same as a PS4 Xbox One, they don't have to worry about that now. It's just make a Switch version.
Yeah.
It's the same as porting over to the PS4 Xbox One. My issue is, will that matter? Third parties on Nintendo systems are notoriously fickle. They might come out with launch games, but if people don't buy the third-party games...
That's true, because these are... Like, if you look at Skyrim, it's already been a game that people are going to purchase again now with their Xbox One or their PlayStation 4. These are people I've already gotten it before. It's not like they're going to buy a Switch and just get Skyrim. It's kind of like, I've already played this game. Now, it's good for people who are dedicated to Nintendo, or if they only get Nintendo systems.
I hope it really works, because my biggest knock against Nintendo for the past decade plus has been, without third parties, you will never be successful.
Well, that's
people are like, but the Nintendo games are so good. I'm like, yes, of course they are. But that's not enough. Your system cannot thrive with two releases a year.
But
you need those third-party
games.
But
it's also another thing. It's like, if this is already on par of the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One power, that's 3 years ago.
Well, yeah. But Nintendo is not about competing with the PS4, Xbox One.
But in order to have third parties...
You have to, which is why it's a compromise. It's as powerful as the current systems, which is all you need to get third parties on board. Now people just need to buy it.
For another few years.
Correct.
Into the next...
But that's what happens with Nintendo in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And actually, they just announced that it will support up to 128 gigabytes of game data. They just said that there's going to be game cards up to 128.
And that's another thing to talk about is that they're going back to cartridge-based.
They are. And that'll actually probably help out with the load times.
Yes. Solid-state kind of memory cards. You know.
We'll see how that goes.
That's a very interesting... And it honestly, you know, once we got solid-state cards, we really should have been going back to that as opposed to optical discs in the first place.
Well, here's the most important thing that's going to dictate, because I guarantee Nintendo, one of the topics I want to talk about is Nintendo last night had their investor conference where they announced all their fiscal data and their promises for the next fiscal year.
Yeah.
And they have said that they plan on selling 2 million units in March, which, you know what? Pretty ballsy for Nintendo to claim.
2 million.
They want to sell 2 million Switches in a month of March, and I think they can. And you know why? Brand new Mario, a true sequel to Mario 64, launching.
Okay.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild launch title.
It's going to launch.
Wait, what?
It's actually
yes,
going to launch.
It's a launch game.
Okay.
And then Switch remasters of Mario Kart 8, which people found on the trailer, might actually be a new game because it showed double dash mechanics.
Oh, cool.
Remasters of Splatoon and Mario Maker.
Right.
So that's a solid fucking lineup just of Nintendo IP.
Yeah.
But we all know what really matters.
What?
Is there going to be a Metroid game?
No.
I think there will.
I don't think there is.
Because here's my take on why they haven't announced a Metroid game in the past 2 years. Because they knew they were killing off the Wii U. And why release their Metroid game on a system that no one was going to buy it on?
That's true. But I just don't think they have the heart in them. Like, they have to get a whole new studio to do it, like they did with Prime. They can't do it. Nintendo can't do it. They have to have a whole new studio.
Bet me $5 that a Switch game will be announced. Maybe not come out, but be announced in 2017.
I'll bet you $5.
Gentlemen's bet,
$5.
You want in on that action?
No, I'll believe it when I see it.
That's why you're betting.
That's why we're betting.
Anyway, the sun is a star.
It's a star.
Pretty sure it's a star.
And the earth is not flat. So deal with it.
Beyond the ready. My final thing to say about the Switch, before we jump into some comics and then go switch back to our discussions, is the problem I have with Nintendo as a whole, as a corporation, their marketing strategy, because it boggles the mind. And a lot of people have given their takes on it over this past week.
Scorching hot takes.
Nintendo has announced that 3-minute video will be all we hear about the Switch until their new conference on January 17th. And I have a problem with that for several reasons. One, 2 months from announcement of price and games to launch is dangerously short to give people time to save up that kind of money, put down pre-orders, and all of that.
Yeah.
Two, you should be getting pre-orders now so that kids for the holidays can be telling their parents, what do you want for Christmas? I want the Switch when it comes out.
But the market's not kids.
But it's everybody. I'm saying kids, people, you have to understand, when people are spending their disposable money this holiday...
Right, but this actually might be smart on Nintendo. Because if they're changing their market plan and they're changing their consumer, then it doesn't matter.
But they're
not. These people are going to buy these games. But they don't have to be like, Mommy, I want a Switch. It's like, no, they have money to do so. So they'll go out and buy this system. If that's the market, if millennials is the market for this system, it's going to do really well.
I don't think you understand.
And having this information gap between the 2 months where people are going to play all these games and they're going to maybe forget about the Switch, And then they do this awesome press conference, and they release all the game footage and all the gameplay, and they're like, hey, next week you can go to Best Buy and try it out. Boom. It doesn't matter. It's going to sell. If they're going to do what I think they're going to do...
Here's the problem, though. All that could very much be true, but it only hurts them to be radio silent for 2 months during the biggest spending season of the year. It does not hurt them to dole out the information over 2 months. Keep the hype going. What they did was, for the first time in a decade, Nintendo had built up more goodwill and hype for a system of theirs since the launch of the Wii.
Yeah.
And now, and the problem is, rumors are popping up and speculation is setting in, and they're not going to comment. The 3-hour battery life on the portable part, people are like, what's going on with that? They're not saying anything. So for 2 months, you have no possibility of increasing demand and desire for a system. You're either hoping that it remains stagnant or drops.
Yeah.
At a time when people will then be spending $400+ on a VR, on a PlayStation Pro, deciding that they're going to hold out on the Xbox Scorpio.
Yeah,
when they could be... Because you have to understand, that's a huge chunk of money to set aside, maybe.
Yeah.
When there's so much coming out now. But if someone told me the price and the launch games, I could put down a pre-order and start paying it off now. Lots of people do that. They need that time to pay it off in installments.
But it's going
to
be in March.
Exactly.
I don't remember the last time there was a system that was launched in March.
There hasn't been.
Nintendo's going to Nintendo.
To answer Jacob's question, complications popped up yesterday, and we could not stream, so we're doing it today. It's a one-off thing. Don't worry.
Nintendo's going to Nintendo.
Nintendo's
going to do what Nintendo does.
The problem is, it's just Nintendo is doing what Nintendo does, and there's a reason Nintendo is dead last in this industry now. Why they've had to go against everything they said and start making mobile games. They're killing off the 3DS. They're doing lots of things because Nintendo refuses to not be Nintendo.
Is there going
to
be a Pokemon for this?
There is not. But I guarantee you there will be.
If they're killing off the DS...
That's my hope. Is that we'll get a true console handheld Pokemon game. But like that...
Yeah, we'll see.
It's just...
Here's another question.
Okay.
What about their online community?
It remains to be seen whether Nintendo has decided to finally man up and
join the 21st century.
Because we know the reality
is that their online's garbage.
Well, that, but like the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live kills it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's third-party games kill it in their online realm.
You know what the worst part about Nintendo's online is? Is that you bought a Wii, and if you bought any backwards some virtual console games, That's it.
Yep.
And you bought the Wii U and you bought different virtual console games. That's it. You just bought a box and you threw money in it and then you threw the box over in the ocean.
Yeah. I don't understand. Nintendo's the only people that don't allow cross.
You know what I'm excited for? When the Switch goes online and they announce the virtual console and we get Super Mario Brothers 3 and Donkey Kong again.
Yeah, but not if you already bought them on the Wii. Yeah.
No, fuck you.
Yeah, right? All right. What will be interesting is the new iPad Pros are rumored to be released around the same time. See, that's who Nintendo is battling.
Nintendo's battling Apple, which is really weird.
Well, because that's who takes all your their main
but
people
this is
away.
What,
that's
this
why
is,
Nintendo
this is, what, this is what the kids are playing. These are what the children are playing. The children's playing
that's
on their
why,
phones.
That's why Nintendo, the interest in the Wii dropped like a stone after 3 years of dominating, because then the iPhone came out. And the because you have to remember, the Wii came out before the iPhone.
Yeah.
Then the iPhone came out, and after 2 years had established itself as the place for kids to play games on cheap.
Yeah.
Then the iPad came out. The Wii U was supposed to be their answer to the iPad gaming, but they have never been able to pull people back. So now they're doing a hybrid, and we're going to see how that goes.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Oh, yeah. Jacob, I guarantee if Nintendo is serious, you're going to see Nintendo unveil a paid-for online service, which is going to give more perks.
I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, let's talk comics for a bit.
Woo! Okay. Woo!
So we're going to rapid fire the comics.
So I'm changing up the news a little bit because since most of it is media-based, I'm just taking anything interesting I see about comics or movies.
That's good because...
Because you can only go so many ways without hearing about, did you hear they're launching an Iceman number one?
Yeah.
So, I guess... briefly, we should talk about the Walking Dead came back and they killed two people. And when I found out who the two people were, I wasn't sure who they were. So I don't know that that's a great idea. People were mad at them.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Glenn died.
Oh, he, spoiler.
Oh, hold on. Spoilers, because for like a minute.
No,
because
it's fine. Show's already out. But he died in the comics.
That's true.
3 years ago. So I always knew he was going to be one of them. Now, what surprised me was they killed a second person.
Spoiler.
I guess, but I don't
he
know who that
already
was.
Said that.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know who that was.
Another character that had died way off that same plot point in the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're diverging enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
He looked like John DiMaggio.
He did.
From, like, the picture I saw?
Yeah.
So I was like, who's this loser that got killed? Oh, John DiMaggio.
Right.
All right. Yeah, so The Walking Dead happened and everyone's pissy about it. Doctor Strange reviews are starting to trickle in, and it's good.
Oh, good.
It's like...
people are liking it a lot.
I'm feeling like it's kind of like Ant-Man, where it's like...
oh, man.
It's good. It's different, and it's good.
I love Ant-Man.
I do too.
Ant-Man was really enjoyable.
Oh, my God. Ant-Man is still one of my favorites.
I like Ant-Man the more I see it.
It's so fun. It's such a fun movie.
And I don't know that it works without Paul Rudd.
No. And his cast of characters that he has with him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Tim Miller was supposed to direct Deadpool 2, and they amicably split.
Yep.
Because the issue came down to money, and there were two scripts on the table. And one was Ryan Reynolds, very cheap, very similar to Deadpool 1 script, and the other was Tim Miller's hugely expensive, crazy script.
And you know what? In this, I'm team Deadpool.
Yeah.
Because Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. He's the reason the first one was made. He's the reason the
team
first
Ryan
one was
Reynolds
good.
On this.
Yeah, yeah.
If Ryan Reynolds is like, this is how we should make this sequel so that we don't shit the bed, then yes. Because no one wanted a huge CG Fox-style Last Stand movie.
No.
Which is god-awful.
No.
Quick aside to answer a question in chat. Are they making a new Assassin's Creed game? Yes. We know they are. But Ubisoft had realized that pumping out a new one every year was diluting the franchise. So now they gave the team an extra like year and a half to incubate it. So when Assassin's Creed comes out in 2017,
mm-hmm.
I guarantee you it's not going to be recognized. I mean, will it be recognized as an Assassin's Creed game? But it's going to be a jump.
What do we know about this Assassin's Creed
Nothing.
Game?
We don't know anything about it, except they're going to have three times the amount of dev time on it than an Assassin's Creed game usually gets.
That's exciting.
It's going to
be in Russia. We're going to get a huge jump in quality, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited
about
that.
I'm hoping Japan.
It's going to be in Russia.
Because
I'm hoping Indo-period Japan.
You know why?
Nope.
What I base this off of? It's going to be the same amount of time in between Assassin's Creed 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I dig it.
So, very excited about that. Please continue, sir.
Oh, thanks. People want Quentin Tarantino to direct this Deadpool 2.
Nope.
That's
no,
a terrible
that's
idea.
An
awful
idea.
Love Quentin Tarantino. Would not put him in charge of a property
no,
like that.
No, not at all.
It's the worst property for him. Give him something esoteric.
No, don't give him anything. Let him do his own thing.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if we take Quentin Tarantino and try to make him do something like, I don't know, Power of the Duck, whatever, it's going to be real shitty. Because he doesn't... it's not his thing. Jessica Jones Season 2 is only going to have female directors for its run. So that's interesting.
That's
You're
cool.
Welcome.
Donald Glover will be Lando for one of these new Star Wars films.
So excited.
That's really great casting.
Oh, yeah.
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 We talked briefly about the Resurrection books and their one-shots last week. But we didn't talk about the two new big team books, X-Men Gold and X-Men Blue.
I didn't even know there was things.
Oh, wait, that's
yes.
happening?
That is happening with Resurrection. You know, with the Cable one, the Cable series, the Iceman series, the Jean Grey series, etc.
Right.
So they're going to have two new team books, Blue and Gold.
Okay.
Going
which
back
will,
to the 90s, huh?
Yeah, it'll harken back to the 90s teams. So I'm not sure what to make of that. Brian Fuller is stepping down as the showrunner of Star Trek Discovery. Probably because he's just super busy. You're such a dick. The Incredibles is moving up to 2018.
This makes me so happy.
Yes.
We do not need Toy Story 4. I give zero shits that was pushed back.
Wait up.
They're making Incredibles 2 earlier now.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. And this is really interesting. AT&T is going to is in preliminary talks to buy.
We can't talk about this today. We should talk about this next week.
Well, I'm just going to say they're in preliminary talks to buy Warner Brothers and by extension DC Comics for $85 billion.
Yeah.
Yep.
We should talk about this next week.
Once it's done, because that's gonna change everything.
Yep.
Film auteur Uwe Boll has said he's not making any more movies because the market for DVD and Blu-ray has dropped so much that he can't make a profit on them.
And because all he does is direct the DVD.
Yeah. He also said that he hopes that in the future, his films will be respected and viewed as lost gems.
Nope. I've seen Blood Rain.
I've slept through most of Blood Rain. It's real shitty.
Remember Dead or Alive?
Yeah. That's real shitty, too.
Remember Postal?
Nope. Didn't
see
it.
Exactly.
I saw In the Name of the King.
Oh, yeah.
He did do that one. A Dungeon Siege Tale.
Oh, God.
Also, remember, there were two Blood Rain sequels.
There was...
And I guess finally, on a sad note, Steve Dillon, the artist who made Preacher what it is and helped revitalize the Punisher with Garth Ennis, passed away.
Yeah,
it's a real damn shame.
Didn't we lose Darwin Cook this year too?
Yes,
2016 is the worst.
This is the worst year,
and we're not even talking about literally everyone else who died this year. But 2016 is a real motherfucker.
Oh my God, this is the worst year, and the Cubs might win the World Series.
Yeah,
so. It's been confirmed that the Cubs have sacrificed all these celebrities, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I know. It was really sad about Darwin Cook, but he didn't really do a whole ton of, like, interior comics. But Steve Dillon made Preacher.
There was three in the Name of the Kings?
What? Get the fuck out of here, Mason. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, everything.
And you know, he was really instrumental in bringing the Punisher back to prominence after the Punisher went through some really dark times. So it's a goddamn shame.
Quick aside on the Cubs, the chef at Superior Grill, is from Chicago and has season tickets to the Cubs, and people are offering him $6,000 a ticket, and he's like, I wouldn't sell him for $10. I'm like, you are fucking what? And but then again, I guess I can't imagine, like, this is a team where they had to make an announcement today for people to please not bring their dead family members' ashes, because apparently it's a thing where family members that were also Cubs fans that have never lived to see it, someone last week when they won the pennant scattered his ashes on the outfield, and that became a viral story online. So they had to ask people not to bring their ashes.
I mean,
they're going to bring forth the apocalypse. If the Cubs wins the World Series, the apocalypse will start.
To imagine how many generations of Chicagoans went through without the Cubs being in the World Series. And, like, I think there's, like, three or four at this point.
Look, all I know is that I really wish they would now make a fall. Like, I want Ferris Bueller, Matthew Broderick. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
To
didn't he go to a White Sox game or did he go to a Cubs game?
No, he went to a Cubs game.
He went to a Cubs game.
No reasonable human being is a White Sox fan.
Well, it's true. Also, here's the thing. You can't get Matthew Broderick out there. He's too busy hiding.
Did you see the gif of Bill Murray just breaking down in joy?
Yes. That made my heart happy.
Right. Okay. So you did miss one thing.
What? Probably
the reveal trailer of The Last of Us, aka Logan.
Oh yeah. Yes.
We talked about this last week.
X23, isn't it?
We talked about this last week. I was getting it launched on that busy Thursday, and since we're on a Thursday now, I got my times a little skewed. Logan's fucking dark,
dude. Here's the thing: we did not like the Wolverine.
No.
I straight up hated the Wolverine.
So here's the thing.
And X-Men Origins Wolverine was
sucks.
Fucking garbage.
Sucks.
And yet, being burned twice, seeing this trailer for Old
this
Man
This trailer
Logan,
looks 9,000 times
introducing
better.
X-23, yes. And I'm losing my mind.
Confirmed
X-23. I'm so excited. Also, because this is the world we live in now. X-23 was unveiled, and everyone immediately was like, why are you trying to replace Wolverine with a woman?
Oh, God.
All right, well, whatever.
Actually, we should talk about the Mockingbirds bullshit.
Yeah.
It's what? Important.
No, I know.
Oh, the...
So,
Chelsea Kane.
Here's what happens. Chelsea Kane is the writer of the now
that cover
ended
is...
Mockingbird.
Yeah.
One of the variant covers for the final issue...
It's awful.
Was no, no.
What?
Are you saying the cover's awful?
It's awful.
Okay, this will be interesting.
Wait, which cover?
The one where she's wearing... I have your woman's rights...
No, no. Ask me about my feminist agenda.
Yeah. And yeah. Then she's like almost like half naked.
No, she... What? No.
What?
Are you looking at the same thing?
I'm
pull that up for
thing.
Us
Let's
so we
pull...
can see it.
Yeah, she's wearing like booty shorts and
no,
stuff
no.
like that. Like...
No, no. Here's the thing. Because
what?
The Mockingbird's book
I'm not
was...
Missing, did I look at the wrong thing?
Yeah, I think you might have, buddy.
I think you did.
I think I did. Sorry, guys.
Sorry about this. The controller died and I have to re-enter the thing. It's that bottom right on that one.
Yeah, this one.
That's really you're saying that's terrible?
I think it's pretty terrible.
No, no. Here's the thing about that. It was a variant because Mockingbird was a very feminist book.
What the fuck? Did...
Yeah.
So it was just a variant because she had an agenda in the book.
Yeah.
And so the problem was they didn't take the anger out on the variant artist. People on Twitter launched a harassment campaign against the writer.
Oh, I would not. That's not the writer. That's not the writer's like
and
doing.
And chased her off Twitter. She's quit Twitter and now is talking about quitting comics.
No,
in general.
But that's not the writer's doing though. That cover is the variant artist. That's like, you know, Doug said it best when we were at the comic book store. That's like someone put this down this amazing sick beat on this hip hop song. It's so great all by itself. It's amazing. Everything about it is great. And then Lil Wayne comes and raps on top of it. That's what that cover is. This book is amazing, wonderful, so great, and then this cover's made. And you're like, thank you, Lil Wayne, for ruining it.
I think we're going to have to disagree on that one, buddy. I don't think the cover ruined anything. The story here is how people reacted, and once again...
Well, yeah, no...
You can't be a woman writer in comics without getting harassed daily.
Which is bullshit.
And if you are perceived as having an agenda, which that cover just flat out said, she got harassed to the point where she now wants to quit the industry.
Which
that's
sucks.
The sad part.
Yeah, that's awful.
Oh, I agree, Steven. The kid from Rookie of the Year should throw the first pitch of the game. Anyway,
no.
We should talk about comics.
Yeah,
Chris.
Time.
Bruh.
Oh, here's the thing. The kid from Rookie of the Year, they should do nothing. The Cubs should not do anything. Don't get cocky. You're
true.
Too close to the end. And if the Rookie of the Year kid does something, like throws a bad pitch and they lose the next three games...
Oh, he's gonna be murdered.
Nope. Straight up murdered.
That is true.
It's like
that is very true.
It's like people were saying... Steve Bartman, the guy who fucked up their last attempt to go to the World Series by reaching out for that foul ball, should come out and throw the first pitch. Not a fucking chance.
No.
Nope. All right, Chris. So
yeah.
We're talking comics.
Let's talk comics.
We're going to speedball through some of these.
Yeah.
Josh, will you be our guy?
Yeah.
And then you just sit him on Daring and Boldy. First, we're going to talk about Detective Comics 943, introducing a brand new arc of Batwoman, which I find disingenuous that Batwoman's not even on the cover. But
yeah.
I think we're getting a mix-up of the team. We're getting, Batwing is joining.
Yeah.
Stop. Also, stop that, bending.
That's
what is wrong with you?
No, I thought
this issue sold it on me by the virtue of the strength on its new villains.
Yes,
the Victim Society.
The Victim
it's,
Society.
It's like four. I'm assuming superpowered people who blame Batman for their lives going horribly awry.
Well, it's the reality of Batman.
Yeah.
All of his villains are created by his actions.
Yeah.
But it's Batwoman tackling them because Batwoman deals with the more mystical, magical side of things.
And Batman is too busy doing... Hey!
Hey, Bambi, look what came in.
What is that? Oh, shit, that's awesome.
Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
Did you start it up yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay, tell me how it is or let me know.
Oh, you're going to come down and play it because it's got that Goku black.
Oh, wait, is he really black?
No. That's the evil Goku.
I'm done with him.
Oh, all right. I mean, no, what I meant to say was yes.
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 Okay, then I will be down to play.
Awesome. Yeah. Once he's down, I'll trick him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm really liking that, especially after Monster Men, which I liked and other people didn't care for. I like that it is getting back on pace to being the A-plus book that we knew it always could be.
Yeah. So after that, we had a new number one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk Teen Titans number one, where Damian Wayne gets his team together.
Yeah.
Chop chop.
You know, we had that rebirth number one of him gathering everyone together to become the new team. And this one is more of the same, actually. It's just him being like, you guys should be on my team.
Yep. And it's actually more him demanding he be on their team.
Isn't Danny Wayne out of his mind, too?
You have the classic team of Robin,
Beast Boy,
Raven, Starfire, Kid Flash. So,
and also the return of Ra's al Ghul, which we haven't seen in a book in a very long time.
That is true.
This is a weird cover.
Yeah.
The variant cover was weirder.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it sets it up nicely and it gets me hyped for what's to come.
I agree.
And yes, we can break joysticks again. Actually, you can't because they took out beam battles. So there's no more clashes where you have to, like, rotate the joystick too fast. Really?
Yeah.
Chris.
What? Sorry.
All right, moving on to the Marvel side of things. We have Civil War II number 6.
This is the first issue that's going a long way in kind of smoothing the edges off Captain Marvel. Because she has been such a monster the entire series. And this one is kind of easing off that and being like, okay, she's not a monster.
Yeah.
She's just very conflicted. And yeah. I like that Peter Quill comes to her side.
I will say the art in this issue, as Josh pointed out, why don't you just open up to a random page?
The artist in this run has just been fantastic.
Yes. I also really like that the main focus has now shifted to Miles Morales.
Yes. This is stealth become a Miles Morales book.
Because now everyone has seen Ulysses' prediction of Miles killing Captain America. And I think Captain America has the best reaction.
It's true.
And that's a Captain America you can, like, really get behind.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
Fucking love that.
It's beautiful. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, Miles is going to ruin everything.
Yep.
I hope not. I like Miles.
That's what happens when you deal with a... mind control and future vision.
Yes. So, Civil War II, it's really coming down to an interesting ending.
I agree.
I think if they're doing what I think they're going to do, they haven't set it up at all, though.
Nope.
So,
you want to guess what might happen?
I believe
that Chris Nolan nerd hot take.
I'm believing, and I don't know this for certain, but I'm believing that Ulysses is being manipulated because, as you pointed out, two Inhumans came out of his cocoon. We haven't seen what happened to the other one.
True.
So I believe that he's being manipulated. And if he's being manipulated to do these awful things, they haven't set it up nearly enough.
It's going to be the Watcher.
Also, we got the stealth introduction of Riri Williams.
We did.
We did.
Is that how we're pronouncing her name?
Riri.
Riri. Yes.
Okay. And the stealth introduction of her into Civil War.
Which was really nice.
Yeah. Although, I do like how it's just, hey guys... I'm here. I'm an Iron Person.
And they're like, "Wow, you were really good in the battle." And
let's go.
It was nice little.
I don't know. Civil War II, pretty good
Speaking
stuff.
Speaking of one of the new guards jumping in, we got a one shot issue of Miss Marvel, where she traveled back home to Pakistan.
It was really nice. I'm glad they gave Miss Marvel a break because she's been going pretty nonstop since her series started.
Also, a big fan of the artists.
Yes.
Yes.
So Kamala's fucked up everything in her life in traditional Marvel teen hero format. So she goes back to Pakistan for a month to kind of clear her head and recenter. And I think this issue had a lot of really great moments, especially the part of her being too American for Pakistan and too Pakistan for American. I think that's a really real
that's
kind
the
of
perfect,
emotion.
Not foreigner. Aspect, but just
immigrant aspect.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I don't know why I was blanking on it, but no. And then of course the fact that I really hope we see the Red Dagger again.
He's interesting. He's
clearly, the guy from the building.
Oh sure,
they're not even pretending.
But here's the thing. Here's the only issue is that if the dude's just working out in Pakistan, we're never seeing him again.
No. Aww. It's like when Gail Simone creates a new character.
Yeah.
No.
Unless G Willow Wilson brings him up, we're never seeing him again.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about the book that we've all been waiting for. The book that makes Josh touch himself on a nightly basis.
Oh, yeah.
The Vision.
The finale of The Vision.
Everything I
The
like.
Most upsetting book around.
Everything I like about really... this book has... That ending was like... You kind of had a feeling...
That it was going to go that route?
That it was going to go that route. And they worked it out really well. What? And it ended really nicely. And... Everything about this run has just been fantastic.
My only issue with it is the reveal of Viv being part of the Champions.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a...
Has really neutered the tension I was feeling going into the end of the book where I kind of figured they were all going to die.
Yeah. Well, at the point, we thought they all were, and then we were like, where does the Champions take place?
Yeah.
But I really enjoy everything about this book, even though it crushed me to hear it. Just the whole thing with his wife,
yeah.
And the confession,
and her drinking that hard water,
yeah. And can we do the spoiler of
no?
Okay,
I mean,
no. Let's. This is not a story. I don't care talking about a 1 week old episode of Walking Dead.
Okay,
but
okay.
This is a story
Fair
that
enough.
I want people to collect in hardcover and then
yeah,
read all at once.
It's a great read.
It is.
It's such a great read.
It is. It deserves your time, and I cannot wait for this all to be collected.
Yep.
It's such a great, like, just view of that character. Whoever is doing these decisions in Marvel, with what they did with Squirrel Girl, what they did with Vision, what they did with Howard the Duck, it's like, whoever's making these decisions are just doing a great job.
Oh, yeah. So, next up, we have another one-shot, giving us the background of a character that we always enjoyed as, like, the comic relief.
Driller the Killer.
We found out how he gets his nickname. And it is a heartbreaking story.
Yeah.
Like, it's right up there with the Vision is just being really upsetting.
Ooh. So here's the thing about Descender.
It's watercolor.
Because I've been kind of wavering on Descender as the further we get into it. Because I think it's kind of lost its original promise. At least it did for me. And this issue kind of rejuvenated that. You know, Driller's origins, Driller and Scoops, and you know the conditions they had to work in and. I was actually really touched by their story in the middle.
Right?
Where Scoops is like, I want to be something else, and Driller's like, that's stupid.
I'm a driller.
Yeah.
Why would I want to be anything else?
He's like, well, I'm going to be a medical bot. And he's like, you can be a medical bot with your dumb robot hands? And I was really, really touched by that. And then, you know, of course it ends badly because we're in the
horribly.
Dark, we're in the upsetting era of comics.
And we also find out the cause of the gas explosion that murdered every human on the mining colony. Including, tying it back to the overall story, the parents of the main robot kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Descender's got earned some goodwill from me for at least its next couple of issues. But, man, Descender was on the razor's edge of being dropped, and this issue...
Saved it. Well, let's finish up with the hilarious... If you've read Unbeatable Squirrel Girl... Then you are in for a motherfucking treat with Jughead number 10. Jughead goes on a date with Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
So yeah,
this is the Bride of Cthulhu.
No,
this is
the actual horror story.
Oh,
this is good Sabrina. This is wacky teenage Sabrina. So here's what I liked about this issue is Sabrina and Jughead go on a date and Jughead's a fucking weirdo and. The date doesn't go well, so Sabrina gets pissed, and she's like, well, I'm just going to use magic. And every time she casts a spell on Jughead, it works out in his favor. And I love...
She keeps trying to curse him to get back at him for ruining
his
name. Again, what's up with, like, Ryan North and always having a good artist?
Oh, it's the same artist from Squirrel Girl. It's
yes.
Erica Henderson. No. Oh, never mind.
No,
it's very Erica Henderson-ish.
Because the artist of Squirrel Girl is... Fantastic.
Yeah.
No. And the best thing is Ryan North has got such a great sense of humor that it really plays well to Jughead because the curses that Sabrina is like casting on him, like he has to raise his hand in every part of this class. Well, he knows all the answers. Okay. Well, I'm gonna fill his homework with worms and snakes, and the biology teacher's like, "Yo, we're gonna go start a new terrarium for all these critters."
And then I'm gonna make you hang out with Reggie. Oh, I guess they just broed out. This is the best moment. You ready?
Yes.
I'm gonna pull it up, where she's like, "I'm gonna make him be best friends with Reggie." But then it turned into a Jughead Reggie friendship montage.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
It's really great, and, you know, Archie's been really killing it recently with all their books, I think, are really great.
Yeah.
Except for, like, Betty and Veronica, which
hasn't come out.
So, like, the second issue.
We're still waiting on that. Adam Hughes should never be in charge of interiors.
He's like Jim Lee.
Unless he's already made it, and then you just stagger out the release.
Yeah, you're right. Jim Lee should never be responsible for interiors.
No. Not anymore.
Adam Hughes should stick to covers.
No, but, you know, Jughead's phenomenal, and I love Ryan North a lot. I think he's tremendous, and he's really coming into his own as a writer. So, get him more books.
Yep.
DC, get him a humor book of some kind.
It's killing me that DC has still not tried to capitalize on the humor.
No humor books.
Marvel has expanded it. We've got Unbeatable Squirrel Girl started it off.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck continued it.
Yeah.
Then we had Superior Foes of Spider-Man was
mostly funny.
That was
a predecessor of it. You have Patsy Walker, aka Hellcat,
adorable and funny.
Totally Awesome Hulk. Teeters on is like half and half.
Yeah, yeah.
Superhero comedy, and then you now have the newly released Great Lakes Avengers.
How is that?
That was amazing. I laughed multiple times out loud.
I need to pick that up.
Yeah,
and I'm so just surprised DC has the options for stuff like that. Make a Mixoplick book or whatever his name is.
Well, they have that. They have that six pack and what's his name, Hard Traveling Heroes.
Yeah,
book.
But those aren't played up as humor.
No, they're just books.
Yeah,
DC has such comedic depths to mine, and it just doesn't.
Yeah, you know, get Booster Gold and Blue Beetle into a comedy book together.
No, there's no time.
Right. Anyway, let's move on. We got one more discussion topic before we wrap it up.
Can we briefly talk about the fact that we're going to see the end of Vine?
Yeah, Vine died.
All those fine millionaires are going to be broke.
What do you mean Vine died?
The social media app Vine?
I don't understand.
That makes 6-second videos?
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's being shut down.
Oh, awesome.
Why would you want that?
I guess, but it kind of sucks because Vine had some really interesting things going on.
Yeah, it really made people get creative with how to make a coherent 6-second film.
And then it's all gone.
Oh well, they'll find a new outlet.
So you know what else came out alongside Logan in the Switch trailer?
Yeah.
The teaser trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes.
Yes. So I went
it's
back.
A prequel.
I went back to confirm this because everyone's like they didn't show anything. I was like, well, Grand Theft Auto 5 didn't show anything either. Grand Theft Auto 5's teaser trailer showed nothing.
Yeah.
Fucking nothing. It's just like, hey, come to the coast. So Red Dead showing nothing. Par for the course.
That's what they always do. That's what their teaser trailer is.
I will say, though, it is gorgeous.
Bruh.
I want to look at it again.
Okay. It's going to have a... By the way, my favorite thing someone did was they took the Red Dead Redemption trailer, took out its own music, and put it up against Pony.
Oh, yeah?
It's amazing.
All right.
It's the only way to watch it. Anyway, let's wrap it up with our final discussion topic.
Okay.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about comics and a lot about video games. I thought we could merge the two.
Okay.
I forgot to talk about the Nintendo fiscal info.
Yeah. All
right, here we go. So, we now know that in terms of price, we don't know what it is yet. But we do know that they won't sell at a loss. But they are listening to what consumers are expecting to pay for it. But here's the interesting thing about Nintendo's fiscal setting. Is that... In an age where the PS4 and Xbox One are seeing dramatic rise in digital download sales, the Wii U and Nintendo digital download sales on all of its platforms down 30%.
Huh.
Which is shocking. They also cut their forecast for the full year fiscal down.
Mm.
They said that Pokemon Go basically kept the entire company afloat this year. Because they hemorrhaged money on the Wii U and the 3DS. But Pokemon Go kept them up.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Net sales for the company were down 33% from the previous year. And they're only... They reported a loss overall. So Nintendo lost money over the year. The only reason they didn't lose as much was because they sold the Seattle Mariners. their stake in the Seattle Mariners. Nintendo was the owner of the baseball team.
Weird.
And Pokemon Go. But it's not exactly surprising that they're down so bad because they've abandoned the Wii U.
Yeah.
So they basically were only running off of 3DS
profit. This Switch is a do or die.
That is the old rumor. So yeah, here's a list of games from last year in each quarter.
Yeah.
To games this year.
Jesus.
Oh, I'll show you later. All right, anyway. So back to the discussion topic. With Rocksteady leaving Batman, Chris.
Yes.
You don't have to look up wrestling.
Oh, Green Arrow.
I'm with you.
Are they going to do a Green Arrow game?
I'm listening.
No, that's not the question.
Oh.
It's a discussion topic. With Batman being done, unless someone else picks up, which I'm assuming WB Montreal will, the people that made Origins, and other superhero games not existing anymore, when you really think about it, outside of mobile tie-ins,
mm-hmm.
what superhero do you think is deserving of their own game, and what kind of game would it be? Because right now, Spider-Man is the one I'm most hyped for.
I feel like we discussed this.
We have never discussed
briefly.
We talked about when we were going to discuss it, and then we didn't have time during that show.
Good point.
So Doug, when
Doug
he was
said the Daredevil game in an Assassin's Creed style.
Yep, with the Vision mode.
Yeah, which would be amazing.
So I agree with that. I also would think an Arrow game done in the Arkham City style.
Yeah,
would also be fantastic. I think CW should just license an Arrowverse game. And have that universe in game form. Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, The Legends of Tomorrow. Have their own game. Have it be a sandbox game with multiplayer. Done. But if I'm thinking just straight game, I would love an Iron Fist game.
Iron Fist would be fun.
An Iron Fist martial arts brawler.
I would like another Marvel Alliance-like game.
I would love an Ultimate Alliance Part 3.
Yeah, but no one else liked it, so...
Well, that's because Part 2 shit the bed.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
I know. I played it with you. It did.
We were really disappointed. You know what? It wasn't even that the story was bad. It was that they hyped up all the team attacks and they were the same game.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing every time.
Yeah. It was like the same five.
Yeah. It was like there was one where you turned into a ball and rolled over stuff. There was the whirlwind attack.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. We don't talk about this game.
Anyway, it was very disappointing.
I don't know. I still think the Daredevil one would work really well.
Just reskin Arkham and put Daredevil in it.
There you go.
Just do it. It's fine. You know, I think the brawlers are the easy
Ooh, a Teen Titans multiplayer action game.
Yeah, are an easy kind of pick. You know, I think if they really wanted to be kind of bold, someone needs to try to get Superman right.
I think Rocksteady would have been the ones to do it.
I mean, Superman is hard.
Here's the thing. That game, Superman Returns, had the right idea, just lacked the execution of it.
Ooh, a Wonder Woman game like God of War.
That would be amazing. Do it based off the Cliff Chiang style.
That would be ridiculous.
No, but do you remember Superman Returns?
The game.
It was the game where you didn't have a life bar.
Oh, yeah, the city
had a life bar. Because that's the way a Superman game should be played.
Yeah.
You lose if you let too much destruction and loss of life happen.
But it was really boring and it kind of sucked.
Because they had to tie it into the movie.
Yeah.
Which was boring and kind of sucked.
And then they went to like, they had Mogo on it. And...
Yeah. So I think if they took the Superman Returns idea and implemented it with a team that actually gave a shit and wasn't confined to a movie tie-in launch schedule.
Yeah.
Because that was another thing that you knew was detrimental. They had to release it with the movie.
Yeah.
And it was releasing on two systems.
Yeah, it was last gen at that time and current gen. It was on PS2, Xbox, and 360.
Yeah.
So that also hurts it.
But it could work.
But I think it could work. Because you have a Superman that's invulnerable, but you can get knocked back. Because Superman gets knocked back a lot. He just doesn't necessarily get hurt.
And then, you know, you put in some levolution, some destructibility. You know, it could be something.
You
could special.
Also have a life meter and go up against magical threats that could hurt Superman.
Yeah.
There's lots of options.
Yeah, I think if a game studio is going to tackle another superhero, they have to be ballsy.
Ooh, what about a Constantine game like Devil May Cry?
I would actually prefer a Constantine game more like a, not a Telltale, but like a classic adventure style game.
In that,
ooh,
in,
yeah,
just a dark, like done in the graphical style of a Telltale game, but a darker, mature rated point and click game with a lot of actual investigation and combat.
That
modes.
Would be fun.
But I don't think a straight Devil May Cry action game
How
would work.
How fun would that be?
That would be. I think that would be more suited for like an Etrigan game or
yeah.
a Justice League Dark kind of game.
I would love a Justice League Dark game. Anyway, so let's wrap it up.
Guillermo del Toro was working on it.
I'm Matt.
I'm Chris.
I'm Josh.
And next week we'll talk about all the other games that came out. Josh will just cream himself over Skyrim constantly.
Gonna talk about a game I've spent over 300 hours in. That I'm probably going to spend another $300
in. I've spent way too much time on games before, so what are you going to do?
Elder Scrolls gets me, man. That's my soft spot.
It's your jam.
That's my jam. All
right. Well, everyone, thank you. Tune in next week at the normal Wednesday. Jacob, sorry again for the mix-up. Appreciate you popping in anyway. And everyone else with questions and comments. The interaction keeps it fun.
Let's go watch that Red Dead 2 thing.
Yep.
Also, right. If you only listen to the audio version, stay tuned for our bonus topic.
Bonus topic! What's the bonus topic?
I don't know.
Let's make a bonus topic.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's talk about...
Remastering games.
I'm all for it. Fuck it. I don't
do
understand
it.
The hate for it.
I like it.
Here's the thing we can talk about that I forgot to mention. Today, they announced the inevitable that Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 are getting a PS4 port.
Good.
Not separate. It's going to be one PS4 game with every Kingdom Hearts game on it, launching alongside Kingdom Hearts 2.8, which means the PS4 will be the only system with every PlayStation game.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Xbox fans immediately on Twitter got salty because they're like, you're giving us Kingdom Hearts 3, why won't you give us these? And Square Enix is like, you're lucky we're fucking giving you Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you deal with it.
Yeah, but here's the thing about remastering games that I think gets lost is that for kids who are just now getting into gaming,
it gives them a chance to play something they never have.
Yeah, so like Kingdom Hearts, which was huge when we were the right age for it
in high school.
Yeah, so kids who were born after that and are at the right age for Kingdom Hearts to wow them, do you really expect them to grab a PS2 and a fucking battered copy of Kingdom Hearts and a memory card?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. Let them have it.
I do expect them to find a battered copy of Kingdom Hearts.
No, no. Let them have it. Let them fight.
Yeah, no,
here's the thing.
True.
Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to come out, and this span between 1 and 3 is the age of most of the fans of the original Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
Like, people that played the first Kingdom Hearts are now having kids of their own.
Yeah. That's
it's really easy to make fun of Nintendo because they remaster the same game for everything. They remaster Zelda.
Yeah.
They remaster Mario and they remaster everything. But that's their bread and butter. Of course you're going to remaster the same
thing. I would love a remaster of the first Zelda.
With, like, what?
Just a really nice, polished update.
They need to remake it, though. See, that's what people don't realize, that remasters and remakes are different.
Yes.
That's true.
A remaster is just an updated port with, like, smoothed out resolution and a better frame rate.
Yeah.
Where a remake is a straight up remake.
I know.
Of
I would
game.
Take a remaster. You do it like Link of the Past style.
Yeah.
Return to Arkham is a remaster. Final Fantasy is a remake.
Correct.
So,
or to use Resident Evil, the Resident Evil 4 HD is a remaster.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 1 remake
is a remake.
I'm
actually getting that Arkham. I have that Arkham Return to Arkham set on my wish list because I really would like to replay them.
I'm waiting for Black Friday.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Go team.
But no, I like remasters. There's a lot of games I missed the first time. And I also like games that I played the first time around that I want to replay. I like getting them on the Xbox because I generally play things on PlayStation first.
Interesting.
I like getting them on Xbox for the achievements. And also because there's something very visceral about that. So that's what I enjoy doing. I like remakes a lot, is what I'm saying. And I have quite a lot of them in the backlog drawer.
Huh. So you're getting Batman on Xbox?
Yeah.
Weird.
Okay. Well, I already did them on the PlayStation.
I guess the remasters don't have any bonuses to get one system over the other.
I literally cannot do anything else on the PlayStation.
That's fair. You're fair.
Fair enough.
I love you,
Chris. Anyone have any other last thoughts?
Nope.
No, I think that's
enough of a bonus. All right, thanks for the bonus. We will see y'all next week.